We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United. As we do our last of certain things here and there, we are talking to our good friend Corey Brock, who covers the team for MLB.com and Padres.com. He is joining us on the Cholula Hotline, probably for the last time this baseball season. And I guess, Corey, right off the bat, what are you going to remember about the 2015 Padres season, you know, maybe two, 3 years down the line?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike, and a loaded one, too. I think there were so many different unique twists and turns with all of this, even before the season started, certainly with what was done to, revamp the roster, you know, the talk about the Padres winning the offseason, you know, kind of the buzz they created before they even played a single game. And, you know, and then the season started, and certainly things didn't go as well as they had hoped. So I think it's kind of unfulfilled expectations. I think, you know, I wouldn't say the bar has been lower in the past. It has been, I guess. I guess I could say that. I just did. So it was kind of a heightened expectations, and ultimately this team fell short for, I think, a lot of different reasons. And lost a very good manager along the way with Buddy Black getting dismissed. I think the team was the same for about 3 weeks after that happened. And by then, you know, they were well out of it. So just never a chance for this group show any semblance of consistency. I think their longest winning streak is 5 games, and that's not going to get you into the postseason.
Yeah, Corey, you're right. You know, I couldn't describe it any better than than you just put it. You know, and overall, I mean, the expectations are excitement that there was a possibility. You know, and I mean, there was no factual thing, but it looked like the piece were there if the pitching staff could have remained as consistent as it was in 14. You know, a lot of ifs involved at the start of the season, but it had some characteristics to it where they could run off maybe 10 or 12 in a row and put winning streaks together like that.
Because the pieces that they acquired and they added, Randy, were notable pieces. These are former All-Stars. These are guys with lengthy service time, and in some cases, you know, I don't necessarily mind any of the moves that they made. Kind of winning now, go for it now mentality. I think maybe this is kind of what this what the town needed, what the franchise needed. So I don't fault them there. And, you know, I think what's interesting, guys, is, you know, we'll finish the season tomorrow here in LA, and I think you'll look at the numbers of some of these guys, especially the newcomers, and the numbers will maybe kind of look closely akin to what they probably expected. You know, Matt Kemp, 100 RBIs, at Justin Upton, a whole lot of home runs, made Petco Park look small. James Shields, over 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. So where was the problem? You know, what happened there along the way where this team never really got it going? And I think that's a question that these guys will sit down beginning next week and kind of hammer around and, you know, kick around and try and get an answer for next year.
Yeah, and when you talk about retooling, you know, that's exactly what you're looking at here. We're going to have to make some decisions, and I think retool a starting rotation on the pitching side and maybe retool that infield.
And I think, you know, the way they're going to go about doing it, and I think this really bears mentioning, especially for the fan who watched A.J. Preller operate through his first winter last year, moving minor league pieces to gain major league assets and sort of this win-now mentality. They can't do that now. You know, the farm system, not completely bare, but there aren't certainly that many notable pieces. So I think what's going to happen, guys, is they're going to have to move assets off their major league roster if they want to acquire pieces to help them get better for 2016 and beyond. So, and then you start taking a look at some of the inventory on the roster and guys you could move and guys that are going to get you probably the best bang for your buck.
Talking to Corey Brock here, talking about the future of the team, and a quick nuts and bolts question for you, Corey. Is there anything to be concerned about with Will Myers and the wrist soreness that he's experiencing right now?
No, Mike, you know, the issue that popped up recently, the soreness, I think some of that was expected after surgery. And then I asked him, and he said this is kind of has more to do with a tendon issue that has to do with overuse, meaning that, you know, when this guy came back, he took a lot of swings. He jumped back into it. He wanted to play. You know, I think it was important for him to play once he came back after surgery. And I think, you know, this, the other day it kind of caught up to him, probably taking a lot of swings and batting practice. And, the hand was sore. So, you know, will the wrist injury, surgery, the fallout of that be a lingering issue moving forward? Well, you know, I guess it will until it isn't. You know, we have to remember he had the right wrist injury in Tampa, and I know a lot of people sort of pegged him as being injury prone, and, you know, he needs to go through a full season of being healthy to sort of answer that question. And I think we could all agree that the Padres were a much better team when he was in the lineup than when he wasn't.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, fatigue's a funny thing, especially tendons. You know, he came back pretty quick from that. And to get 100% strength in that tendon and the way he swings, you know, probably going to take a little more time. And, you know, it's still good to see him out there swinging the bat before the end of the season. And he even taking the last weekend off, that's fine. I just know he'll be healthy for 2016.
Yeah, and I think he's such an important piece moving forward, Randy. And, you know, you talk about how you're going to go about upgrading the roster. You have some options with Will now. You know, when Justin Upton leaves, and I think we can all agree that's probably going to be the case, can you slide Will Myers into left field? Or can you move him to first base? I think we saw some good things. Look, he's probably one of the best athletes on the team, and his footwork at first, the arm strength is there. He just hasn't played the position a lot, but I think he could be fine there as well. I think he's a good enough athlete to play left field. Yeah, I don't think they've completely closed the door on center field, although I think the way the team sets up for next year, if you're looking at a Jankowski, Melvin, Upton platoon, I think that could be okay if both those guys hit. That's a different issue for a different time. But I think as you have some flexibility now as you go in the offseason. Hey, do we try and find a thumper at first? Do we try and find a left-handed bat that can play left field? I think with Myers, you can move him around, and I don't think they've settled on this position yet.
Hey, Corey, I want your reaction. How about Corey Spangenberg and what he's done this year?
I really like him, Randy. And, you know, I was kind of looking at it. He's actually like one of the few true rookies that have been on this roster for any length of time this year. And, you know, I remember he had the knee injury there that ended up being a little bit worse than we initially thought when the kid from Arizona went in kind of hard, clean play and everything. But he's been very good. You know, I broke down some of his numbers last night. And, you know, he's about hitting about a little shade over 300 on base percentage, about 360 since June 2nd. This is a pretty good sample size of at-bats, closing in on about 200. So I think he's opened some eyes, and I would have to say that he's the odds-on favorite to win that second base job next year. Now, he's going to have to go out and win the job. We don't know what the team's still going to do with the rest of the infield. But as the season ends tomorrow, I'd have to think he's in a really good spot for 2016.
Yeah, I would agree. I've been really impressed with him this year. And if anybody's really shown that mark of improvement, even with the being sidelined for 6 weeks, whatever it was, you know, I've been impressed by Spangenberg.
Well, you know what else he's done, guys, and this is what's impressed me, is that he's won, and well, I should say he's helped win a few games just with his speed. And, you know, for a team that's really devoid of much team speed and kind of being station to station just because of the lineup composition, I think he's kind of the perfect, I hate to say the perfect Petco Park player, because I don't know what that is anymore, but I think his game really sets up for Petco Park, because he's a slasher. He's not making nearly as many bad outs, lazy fly balls as he was early in the year. He hit the ball in the gap. I remember he had a triple the other day on a ball down the right field line, and that's truly a double for anybody else. But, you know, he gets himself in scoring position at third base where a fly ball can get you a run, and sure enough, they got a run in there. So that speed really changes the complexion of the game, and I think they're really going to want to take a look at him and Travis Jankowski next year.
Is this a big start for Robbie Erlen tonight?
I don't know, Randy. I think, you know, his service time here with the Padres spread out over a couple years now is probably enough for them to sort of know what he is and what he's all about. And, you know, some days it's going to look really good. That last start against Arizona, 2 hits over 7 shutout innings. Not a lot of punch outs, you know, ball in play, working ahead. You know, he's, you know, I think they kind of know what he is. I think they kind of know what Casey Kelly is. It doesn't hurt to get any more extra looks, though. And, yeah, we'll see how he does against this Dodgers lineup today. But, you know, he's got to start landing that curveball a little bit more than he has.
I concur.
He's not going to throw the ball by too many guys. But, you know, he's a smart pitcher. He works fast. I like watching him. I'm left-handed, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
And we know another lefty sitting on the couch there. So, you know, it's just kind of fun to watch him work. when he's going well. But, you know, again, like anybody else, he would have to win that job in spring training.
Talking to Corey Brock from MLB.com. One last topic. Obviously, Monday, I think A1 item for the Padres is going to be finding a new manager or keeping Pat Murphy in that role. What are you expecting from the team? Obviously, I don't want to ask you to make a prediction, but what do you think they're looking for in the next manager of this team?
Yeah, I've kind of been picking at AJ Preller a little bit, just trying to find out if he has any kind of preference one way or the other. And you know, AJ never reveals his cards, no matter how much I dig. So, you know, whether it's a guy that's been managing in the game for a while, whether it's you know, that new trend now, guys, with people who have not spent a lot of time in the dugout, if any time in the dugout, you know, getting a chance to manage a team. You know, I think what's important for him, and he told me that, you know, you want to make sure you have the best fit for your team. I think one of the most important elements now, and I think this is why Buddy Black was a very good manager, was because he managed people really well, and that's truly what this job is anymore. It's not the X's and O's. It's not standing on that top step of the dugout, you know, making the double switch or knowing when to pinch hit Brett Wallace. A lot of that game stuff tends to play itself out. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I could do it, Gracie, because I know I sure couldn't, but I think it's important for a manager to have a reach in the dugout and to have a way to connect with young, old players, Latin players, domestic players, just have a good way of conveying a message without beating on his chest. And I think that's what they're going to look for. They're going to look for a very good communicator, and they're going to look for a guy who's very, very good at managing people.
What's wrong with beating on your chest?
You probably play for a bunch of those guys.
Yeah. Come on. I like those guys.
Yeah, you wanted to choke them at the end of the year, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways of leadership. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. I just think the game has changed, as you know, and I think players are much more inquisitive now than they've ever been. They want to know why. And I'm sure, Randy, in your era, you know, a lot of that was, here's your marching orders. Go forward. Do not speak. You know, and it's just in the evolution of the times. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just what it is. Players are more inquisitive. They want to know some answers. Some of them deal into the sabermetrics on their own and study trends and things of that nature. So you have to find a way to reach everybody, and that's not a real easy trick to pull off.
Really good insight from Corey Brock. He covers the team for Padres.com and MLB.com. Corey, appreciate the time. Enjoy the last two games here. Hope bullpen day goes for you well, and we'll see you back in San Diego in
a couple days.
Yeah, I'm not sure what inning I'm getting tomorrow, guys, but I'm ready to go.
Attaboy, Lefty.
Can't wait to see it.
Stay ready, man.
Thanks, Corey. Corey was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Get to today's lineup when we get back right after this.